Stay in the game at sports.kbec.com. Complete coverage of Ellis County sports from Classic Texas. KBEC.
Sports.kbec.com presents The Press Box. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpet in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpet. The Press Box is your source for Ellis County High School sports. Give us a call at 972-923-1390, option 1. And now, here's tonight's show.
Good evening, woo, Ellis County sports fans. Welcome to the Press Box.
I barely stuck back in for that one, Chad.
Man, I tell you what.
It's a little out of breath.
We'll work on your conditioning when the weather warms up, you know?
It's all that smoke.
Somebody needs
That's
to work
it, exactly.
on mine.
Hey, Chad Hicks here, Travis Smith.
Howdy.
Lots of stuff to talk about tonight. Lots of basketball to talk about. Believe it or not, we have a pre-show production meeting, and Travis was trying to explain to me what went on with Red Oak and the District 14 Class 5A standings and all of that. And in a nutshell, my head exploded and flew out the window.
You almost need a whiteboard, a large
whiteboard,
a ruler or two. Maybe that thing that you used to use in
slide
trigonometry.
Rule.
That
yeah,
like
you got to have that.
Moved around and stuff.
You got to have the calculator where you put the answer before the numbers in that you're wanting to figure out.
Because those boys played three games within, what, 7 hours?
It was a lot.
Just to get into the postseason. And we will be talking with head coach Jason Sasser all about that. Come up around 6:40. I'm excited.
Yeah, I likewise as well. I want to hear how it all shook out and what it took to get to that point. We're hoping to start the show off with a couple of Waxahachie phenoms and Montez Young and C.J. Nolan. I think currently we're working to get them on the phone.
We should be, yeah. We will be with them right after our first break that will take around 6:15 or so.
Perfect. So we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. And as always, all I can say is, you know, hot beans, let's get this pot of cooking.
Heard that. Hey, so Dave, Yo-Yo Dave.
Yes, sir.
The best producer this side of the Guadalupe.
Don't even start that. Don't even start
one of those rivers.
The wedge between the Guadalupe and the Pecos.
It's by that? There. I'm the producer just west of the Natchez.
There we go. That'll work. Dave, what did you do during your snow break?
Well, for the first 3 days,
you
I...
golf?
No. Not yet. I had those special red balls. It's got the little sensor in it that goes bing, 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 but I didn't use them. So, no.
So no golf for you. Too cold.
No.
You didn't take up Nordic skiing?
No. I thought about doing cross-country skiing, and then I put the skis on. I was so out of breath, I took them off and sat back down.
It's probably a good thing. Hang them back on the wall as a decoration?
Yeah. You know, I don't even know why they're doing up there.
I spent a total of 8 minutes out in the actual snow. Four of that was picking myself up off the pavement after I
isn't that the
after
fact?
I ate it. Feet right. Went above my head. It was awfully brutal.
It was fun trying to walk the dog. I have a little chihuahua, and there were some snow drifts that are about a foot, maybe foot and a half deep, and the dog wouldn't get out in the snow until I picked her up and carried her, and I found one of those snow drifts and dropped her into it. All the way up to her shoulders. She was not happy with me. She wouldn't come sit with me for an hour after that.
It's probably a good thing that you'd have a bunch of snow all over if you'd have done that.
Isn't that the facts?
Yeah.
So back to the sports world. Did anybody catch up with any sports of any kind during the snow week? Were there any sports
I did watch golf.
Documentaries? So you did watch golf?
I watched golf, yeah.
I didn't catch any of it.
I watched the Genesis International and then I watched the last one. I watched the last two rounds of that. That's about all the sports I kept up with.
Well,
I'm going to be perfectly honest. No, I didn't watch much of anything. You know, we were dealing with power outages and all of that kind of stuff, you know. And I guess I'm a lame radio broadcast sports guy or something.
Well, I mean, on the local front, there just wasn't a whole lot on either. I mean, you had the Stars couldn't play because of the power outages. The Mavericks couldn't play in Houston because of the same way. All of our high school sports
were canceled. Yeah, Waxahachie got pushed back.
Which has completely thrown these playoff schedules into a loop. So when I try and tell you that it was hard enough to try and keep up with what teams are playing where and when and against who with just COVID, you throw COVID and the snow in there, and we've got games everywhere. I mean, for instance, tonight we've got games in Ennis that were supposed to be played last Friday. The Red Oak girls are taking on Mount Pleasant tonight at 6. Right now they're tipping off in the area around there. Both of those teams won their respective district championships. So I do think the Lady Hawks are going to – they might run Mount Pleasant into the ground, hopefully at least. Then we've got the Itley boys. They just came off a 18-3 season. They will face Archer City tomorrow night at 6:30 in Boyd, Texas. The winner of that will play Lipan. Does anybody know the local connection to Lipan?
I know where Lipan is, but
local connection? Anybody? Anybody?
By me.
Their head coach has a last name of Gaylor.
Oh yeah, huh?
Son,
still by me.
The son of longtime Waxahachie boys head coach Lonnie Gaylor.
Gaylor, how about it?
He's taken that team to the state championship. I think three of the last 4 years, four of the last
really
5 years. They're solid. But so the winner of the Itley and Archer City game will likely face Lipan, who is 20-4 on the season, and they are playing Albany. We've also got Dallas Lincoln and Ferris will tip off tomorrow at 6:30 at Red Oak. So if you'd like to go see that game, they do allow fans in.
Yeah, they'd love to have you.
Outside of that, those are the only ones that I have handy, besides, of course, our Waxahachie game, which we will for sure get to. And if you missed that, if you did not see the update today, they planned on having ticket vouchers available to purchase ahead of time, but they have since reversed that. They are now limiting each school to 215 total tickets for that game. So if you're number 216, you better hope only 214 show up.
Exactly. Yeah, you just burned an hour and a half's worth of gas getting down there. The I believe the game, well, they tip off at 7 tomorrow night.
Broadcast starts at 6:45 here on KBEC.
Absolutely.
Tip off at 7, and so be here if you're not there.
So if you do drive all the way down there, you can't get
KBEC.
In, go grab you a quick bite, drive back, turn on the radio, and Ken and Jim will bring you home. Jim is going to skip a P&Z meeting.
Really?
To call that game. That's how dedicated he is to Waxahachie running
into
basketball.
He's dedicated, right. You know, he told me that if I made it 3 weeks at this gig, which last week would have been, but we were off air because of technical issues or electrical issues, that I'd get my own reserve parking spot. I was kind of excited about that, and then I roll up here to realize there's nobody here this time of day. I think everybody gets their own parking spot.
He got you on that one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the guy's smart. He knows how to negotiate.
Ain't too many get by him, that's for sure.
Well, guys, I think it'd be a good time to take that first break so that we can enjoy plenty of time with CJ and Tez and maybe even a special appearance from Coach Greg Gober. We just don't quite know yet. So, Dave, if you want to
all right, I'm ready.
Take us into that. We will come out of there and be ready to roll.
Hopefully, I'll get all the phone calls made. So
let's go. Let's go sell some stuff.
All right, guys, here we go.
Blue Bonnet Barbecue is a proud sponsor of the Press Box at 3921 Highway 287 in Rager Springs. Our listeners love their sliced beef, their chopped beef, pulled pork, smoked turkey breast, jalapeno cheddar sausage, blackened pepper sausage, and their St. Louis-style ribs, and all the great sides and desserts to go along with them. Give Ryan a call today and get that order in at 972-923-8921. Blue Bonnet Barbecue in Rager Springs, 3921 Highway 287. Stop by tonight.
Feather Stone Auto Repair, 3654 Highway 77 in Sterrett, Texas. Their team does it all. Feather Stone Auto Repair for brake work, tune-ups, transmission repair. They do electrical work, engine repair, suspensions, and more. They're your one-stop shop for your family's vehicle repairs. Always glad to give you a free estimate, too, at Feather Stone Auto Repair, 3654 Highway 77 North, just north of Waxahachie. Or give Bobby Featherston a call at 972-617-9966.
Another proud sponsor of the Press Box on KBEC is Metro Florist and Gifts in Ferris, in the heart of downtown Ferris. They've got flowers for all occasions, a lot of great gift ideas too, whether it be birthdays, funerals, that special occasion, or just because. Just give Chris a call today, 972-544-8877. That's 972-544-8877. Metro Florist and Gifts, now at their new location in the heart of downtown Ferris, taking care of you for any and all occasions. MC Body Works at 3602 Ovilla Road, Ovilla, does it all for you. If your vehicle needs any body work done, they are the place to go. They specialize in customizing muscle, classic, exotic, antique, race cars, and choppers. They also do fiberglass. That's MC Body Works. Give Eric a call today at 972-617-0507. Just look for the vehicle on top of their building. MC Body Works, 3602 Ovilla Road, Ovilla. Stop by today.
1390 AM and 99.1 FM, KBEC. Classic Texas music.
Back to the Press Box with Chad and Travis, and we got Coach Gober on the phone for you guys, too. How about that?
Oh, we're pulling somebody off the bench. Let's rock and roll.
Okay, guys.
Hey, Coach, you there?
Hold on just a second. Let me put him on here. There he is right there.
Coach Gober, are you coming to us loud and clear from a run or at home?
We're actually, we just walked off the court, and I apologize. It was the players would like to be on here. They just walked out of the dressing room.
No worries,
and
Coach.
Their phones don't even work here in school. We're lucky I'm in my office and mine works.
I know how that works, fact there. There is absolutely no cell reception at all on the backside of that school. At none. Zero.
None.
Right.
And for what it's worth, Coach, that's the absolute best excuse you could have given. You know, as long as you're practicing, everything is cool.
Yeah. No, I'm happy. I'm happy they're still here. They're not skipping out on me. So it's good.
Well, and then about that practice, how many of those have you had since the COVID shutdown that set you back about 2 weeks? Because you go from COVID to ice, and you haven't had a whole lot of time on the court.
Well, we've actually practiced one time before the DeSoto game, and then we practiced on Friday and Saturday, and now Monday. That's three plus four out of about the last 24, 25 days.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Been,
so how do you,
it's been kind of tough on them.
So how are you keeping the kids not just mentally sharp at this point, but just in shape in general?
Well, they're not. I wish I could say, boy, everybody's in shape. They're just like they were when we stepped off before, but we're not. And it's like we're going to have to play through it. Hopefully these games and play, practice, hopefully we get to do that a few times and we can get ourselves back in shape, pretty quick. But we just got to go to war a little bit.
Absolutely. And
yeah, I don't know if it even matters. I guess it is somewhat of a moot point. But what about your competition? Have they been able to practice? And I mean, are you going to come up against tomorrow night? I mean, are they at full force?
Well, they were in a tougher situation than us, probably with the weather. Theirs was worse. They're not even in school today, but they did practice because, and also their district was kind of in flux. They were supposed to play their last district games on Saturday, and then they didn't get that information till real late, so they thought they were going to be playing another district game. So to answer your question, they practiced a little bit too, and they weren't going to increase their seeding or lose their seeding, so they knew that they'd be playing us for a while. So I'm sure they would have focused on us a little bit.
Well, hopefully that'll even the playing field then some. Keep our fingers crossed.
And for those who don't know or haven't quite been able to keep up, what happened was the team had to go into health and safety protocols there for, I think it was 12 days in total.
They had 14. The players had to be out for 14 days.
14 days.
If they weren't positive. If they were positive, they got to come back earlier, which is strange, but that's the way it works.
And then we come back from that. The original plan was to try and get in those last four games for seeding. Of course, snow and other things didn't allow for that to happen. So we just played that DeSoto game last Friday, which you guys won 80-51. It wasn't the most crisp game ever, but a win's a win, especially with that long of a layoff. So with that being said, and that concluding the regular season, what are the key takeaways from that game for you and from the regular season as a whole?
I just saw how resilient these kids are. That again, the DeSoto game wasn't, just like you said, emphasize, it wasn't a great performance, but we made shots. I mean, we didn't defend as well as we normally do. We weren't as crisp moving around, but the kids were able to finish shots, make shots, and you know, really, the crazy thing about it is we didn't have to overextend playing them. We thought we were going to be playing, games. So those starting seven guys, they really didn't play a lot that game. They played, I won't even say they played half the game. And so that helped. If we were going to play three more games, it might not have helped if come to find out that was the last one. So, but they're ready to go. They'll be out there tomorrow. I have no doubt that they'll give their best effort.
No doubt. And and it helps to have as deep of a bench as you guys have as well. I mean, when you've got kids who can come off the bench in the fourth quarter and drill a couple three-pointers, I feel like every time he goes out there, that for sure goes a long way to help. And as we look towards tomorrow, the opponent is Belton in the bi-district round. The only common opponent between you two was Waco High. Belton won that game 73-68 on November 23rd. You guys defeated Waco High 98-47 on January 16th. Now, a lot has changed since then for both teams, obviously.
Right, right.
So we can't put a whole lot of stock into that. They are led by junior TJ Johnson, who is averaging 26.4 points over his last five games. And I'm guessing it's his brother, which has a fantastic
brother.
Name, Trap.
Right,
Johnson.
Another. Yep, wow. Trap, and both of them.
So as you look towards that game, do you game plan more for Belton, or are you focusing more on yourselves?
Well, truthfully, every game we really spend a lot more time on us. We figure out what their strong points are, and we try to go against that. I quit doing this a long ago, and I like the way we do it now. But we don't try to study every little offense or every inbound. We show them what the actions are and then how to defend those actions, because sometimes teams have a hard enough time remembering what they do versus trying to teach them somebody else's stuff too. So it's really just actions. I mean, we spend a ton of time on ourselves trying to get better, defend this action. How would we, where are we going to be? We just incorporate it into our defense is what we do. But the kids seem to respond better. They're not sitting there thinking all the time. Every time somebody's thinking, they're going to be a step or half a second late on everything. So hopefully they're out there playing. They're seeing things before, they're anticipating and versus just reacting. And if we're anticipating, we're really good. If we're reacting, we're chasing people like we did Duncanville for a long time.
I agree.
We reacted.
And I think that's so important for all sports. I mean, and especially at the high school level. We had our new head coach, Shane Tollison, was in here, and he kind of said the same thing, that you want them to think less and react more. And that's just so huge. And Dave, Do we have a phone call in?
No, no, I got a question.
Oh, you have a question.
I got a strategy question.
Strategy.
Okay.
I'm not much of a basketball strategist or strategist, but look, one of the things that I've noticed since the three-point shot has been added in and all that, it seems like every team wants to be a three-point shooting team and just goes down there and starts heaving the ball up. At some point, Coach, do you decide that, okay, our three-pointers, we're making 13, 18, 12, 20% of our three-pointers. We need to start driving the lane. We need to start getting in and taking 2 points instead of 3 points and giving up a rebound. And if so, how do you communicate that to your team?
Well, they know if we have no problem shooting threes, and they're going to shoot the ball anywhere from 33 to 37%. If they're in that range, we're okay. But when we miss four, five, six in a row, and nobody goes to the basket, there's probably a timeout call. There's probably a nice little exchange between a few of us, and they're going to drive it, or they're gonna do something. And the other thing that happens on those threes, they all have the freedom to shoot it, every one of them. But if they don't rebound, they have the freedom to come out of the game too. So everyone that we miss, There better be somebody trying to rebound. So if we're missing and we're not rebounding, then I start putting some stipulations. You take it to the basket. CJ, you need to do what you're supposed to do. We need to get to the rim. You know, they understand that.
So that's when we see the animated Greg Gober come out on the bench. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That generally gets my attention. And, you know, like, I can handle three, four, but when we get to five or six and we're still just letting them fly and nobody's rebounding and standing there, I get a little disappointed. But you're right. The game has changed. I mean, you know, we've got Darquan King, who's a really old school, big time kid inside, but that we don't really get to that much. We try it some, and if it doesn't work, then we've got guys that, like, Tez is, he's a postman, but he's not anything like you grew up watching post, and nothing that I grew up watching a post player. They shoot it, they rebound it, they put it back, and we go from there. And then we're, you know, Darquan King's got to develop his as well, because he doesn't grow to be 6'9", 6'10". He's really not going to be a low post player on a high-level team. He might be on a low-level team, but for a high-level team, they got to be athletic. They got to score. They got to be able to post when they do, but not predominantly. They want less people in the lane to drive.
So you're saying that
that opens it up for us.
So you're saying that pretty much the days of Kareem and Shaq are gone, and not completely gone.
Only
but
if you had a Kareem and Shaq, it'd be great. Yeah, here's the difference: those kids, they don't see a Kareem or Shaq. Which kid did they ever get to emulate in college, or even pros, where somebody's just dominating inside? You know, Zion Williams can do that, but now he's a point guard for him.
Right.
So it's just changed so much that a guy just pounding it inside, just they realize that there's not a future for him, and that they don't even grow up doing that. They don't want to do that. Now, luckily, I have a few guys that they like it. You know, CJ, he loves to do that. I post him all the time. And, you know, also, you know, Mark, you know, Head is coming off of football. He loves it inside there. He's my Dennis Rodman. So we just find the strengths of what they can do. And unfortunately, we're not great post-up players, so we're not going to just sit there and just keep driving it in there and trying to feed it when it's not becoming effective for us.
So, Coach, with all that being said, I mean, what is Greg Grober's preferred brand of basketball? I mean, obviously, as a high school coach, you got to play with what you got, right? I understand that. But would you rather have a 6'8 kid, 6'9 kid, and build all around him? Or would you rather trot five guards out there and just run them to death?
Oh, can I answer this one?
Do what's the strength of the people you have. I've had teams where I was bigger than most D1 colleges, and they weren't very good inside. I mean, I had 7-footers, 6'10", 6'9", but they weren't really good. So we just do what the strength of our team is. Now, if I had a dominant 6'8", 6'9" guy, he'll score inside. And, you know, he'll do what he's supposed to do. But you have to look at the strength of your team and the personnel that you've got and how you can develop those kids. So my style's changed. Sometimes we ran the same offense, but we might have a 45-second, a one-minute possession doing the same thing we do now. Now we're lucky if we have a 15-second possession sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it just changes. It just totally changes what the strength of your team, and you coach to who you have, not what you think you can make them into.
No doubt. And, I mean, Coach, it was just – 3 seasons ago when you had all guards on the roster. I mean, it was a roster of 13 guards. I think your tallest player was 6'4".
Exactly.
And that's, and you know, that's just the way it's not just Waxahachie's problem. That's just kind of the way that it is. And even if you are 6'7", truthfully, you're a nice wing player in college. You're not a post player.
Right.
So, you know, our best low post guy for now and in the future is Darquan King and Parker Jefferson, an eighth grader who's about 6'8", 6'9", who can do both. He's like Nicole Joker. He's a little unbelievable young Joker, and I'm anxious to get him next year. He'll post up. He's a great passer inside, and he can shoot it too.
I think
we got some big guys coming.
I think you saying 6'8"'s underselling just a little bit. The kid has like a size 16 shoe. I swear I've seen him duck underneath the doorway. He is a specimen for sure.
Yeah,
and Darquan,
he's a big kid.
Isn't his father also quite tall, so he has some room to grow still?
Yeah, his sister's a D1 volleyball player, but she was also D1 basketball. His brother's a D1 basketball player. Both of his parents were D1 athletes at Arkansas. So the kid's got really good genetics, and he'll really help us. And then I just know that there's other big kids that'll develop and come through as well.
And you mentioned Zion a few times there, and he might be a point guard now, Coach, but he might be a cheeseburger and a half away from being a center on an NFL roster. That is
easily. And when I say point guard, it's not like traditional point guard. He's what they call a point forward now. You know, everything's predicated off of, you know, is he? They don't say he's a five, and there's just no more of that, really. They all have to stretch the floor. It's a crazy game, but it equalized the game for a guy that is 5'11". Now he's got a place to play. You don't have to be the 6'8", 6'9" guy to play basketball anymore.
No doubt. And Coach, hey, we do have a call, but. Before that, and while we're on this topic, I have some stats here that fit what you're explaining about being aggressive. But I'm a little curious as to where this comes about. And it's in relation to CJ, okay? So in the first half, he's averaging less than a free throw during the entire half, right? Second half, he's averaging 3.5. His points per quarter also increase every quarter as he goes, despite not playing much in the fourth quarter. Is that kind of a game plan for you, or does a switch just flip for a kid like that who knows that he needs to put the game away?
Truthfully, what it is CJ's just a very unselfish kid. He could have those same numbers constantly, but if you ever watch him, he doesn't try to over dominate the ball or anything like that unless he absolutely has to or unless I tell him to. There's a lot of times I have to force it and just say, CJ, you just go, you do what you're supposed to do. And if you think about it, as the games are getting going later in the games, he's warmed up. He's let other people be a part of it. Cade Cunningham's a guy that I coached as well. Cade has that, they say he's going to be like, top 1-2 player in the NBA draft. And everybody goes, why is he so much better at the end? Because the truth is they're just unselfish. They just they don't go out and hunt and search shots early. They try to get everybody involved, and then they'll resort back to what their strengths are, and they'll just go at it and attack people.
Hey, Coach, we got a young man named Kendall that's on the line, wants to ask you a question. Go ahead, Kendall.
Okay.
What's going on, Coach? I just wanted to call and ask how the guys are doing and how you guys are preparing for this first playoff game and this hopefully state championship run. Well, I think everybody's doing real well. The practices have been, you know, I just told somebody, I got off the phone right before I got here. I said we tried to flush out all the bad. It's gonna take more than one or two games, but that's our goal, is to try to get rid of some of the bad stuff and save it, you know, make sure all the good comes out in the game. And but they've got great attitudes, and you know, I tell all the time, I'm very, very fortunate. I have great kids, great people that are unselfish, and the parents are that way too. It's, you know, the parents understand that we play a certain way, and we're always going to have three or four guys that are going to get double figures, and you know, it won't ever probably be one guy is going to score 30 and the other guy scores 4 or 5 and he watches. So hopefully, Kendall, I answer your question, but I think we're going to be ready. It's going to be fun. There's going to be some great players that the one thing you got to know is you're just one bad night away from being done. And we have to just keep preaching the message that, you know, the only reason that we should lose the games if we accept an excuse and the other team just kicks our butt. And that's the one that we can handle.
Now, Kendall, I'm going to take a shot in the dark here. This is Kendall Green, correct?
Yes, it is.
It is. So, Kendall Green is on Twitter at OnTargetHoops. And Kendall told me a story one time. I don't know if he'll tell it on air, that he used to play against a Greg Gober coach team, and he used to whoop up on them. So, Coach, what do you have to say to that?
It didn't go that way. It didn't exactly go that way. No, he was on a really, really talented team. I don't say that. His team had a ton of talent that they were really, really good, and it was a nice rivalry, and our guys got real excited to play them. But Kendall was on a really good team with a lot of good players.
And he does a great job, too. I mean, he is a must-follow on Twitter for sure. We are going to start to carry some of his content on KBC Sports at sports.kbc.com. He breaks down plays well, but most importantly, he likes to promote the kids and try to find those kids who don't already have homes, find homes at the collegiate ranks. And that's what it's all about.
I didn't know Kendall at all prior to this, except, you know, we played, but I really didn't know who he was. You know, I just knew the name, and I'd see the content, and I'd see what he was doing, and I just noticed, man, this guy's really on point. He really likes our – he's not afraid to call it like it is, and he doesn't get caught up in the oohs and the ahs. He's actually seeing their ability and their skill set. And all of a sudden, we just kind of started talking about it, but I really – I use his examples, the stuff he puts on Twitter. I tell him all the time, you see that? You see that? Look what other people are saying about you guys. How did you get that way? It's because you work. And Kendall reinforces that on the Twitter. He notices things that honestly other people don't notice that the kids do, and I love it. It's really good for us.
It is. And again, that's at OnTargetHoops. It's a great follow. We pre-tweet him a lot as well. Kendall, do you have anything else for Coach Gober?
I will say, other than that, how do you get the guys to stay focused? I know that, you know, with the number one ranking, how do you get them to not read the headlines? And even some of the stuff that I get posted, how do you get them to, you know, just stay humble?
Kendall, that's a good question, because here's what I do. And I try to live by this, and I really mean it. A lot of people say it. I don't think they mean it. I truthfully don't care what we're ranked, and it makes you feel good and it validates, but I constantly spend my time saying, if you need somebody else to validate how good you are, you're probably not that good. And that's what we do. I just, you know, every day I try not to ever take away all the positive, because it's good and it's great for the community, but if that's what really motivates you, you're gonna be less of a player and a person really be, because you really shouldn't have other people have to validate your work. Just go out there and do what they're supposed to do, and let your actions speak. That's what we talk about. Just, that's great. I love it. I'm not going to walk around and say, man, I wish we weren't number one, because that'd be a lie. I'm happy we are. But when the season's over and the state championship's done, that's the real number one team to me. And
That's what I would hope that we would be one.
Yes, my sir. Question for Kendall is, Kendall, how did you get a hold of my cheat sheet? I got questions written out over here, and you've asked all of them already.
Well, he's a basketball guy, understands the game, and it's fun. I didn't realize that when it said Kendall, I thought I was talking to a young adult just wanting to talk to basketball. I'm glad it was you. So I really appreciate all the things you do for us.
Yes, sir. No problem, Coach.
Kendall, will you be following the Indians down to Lorena tomorrow night?
Yes, sir. I will be making that trip.
Fantastic. Man. Okay, so now there's 214 opportunities to get into the door.
Hey, if you're there, I got a deal. I'm going to do my very best as people show up to this game that they don't turn away anybody. If somebody can't get in the game, just find a way to get in touch with me. I'll do everything I can do to get them in the game. There'll be an extra manager for us. We'll do whatever we got to do.
Please don't put me in a uniform. That's
Kendall,
all I'm asking.
So you need to swing by the studio. I will have a press pass ready for you. Don't worry. We will get you in there for sure.
Yeah, hey, 55-year-old short, fat, bald guy in a uniform. That would go over really, really well.
Hey, Coach, I'm nearly 62, and I can clog the lane. That's about all I can do.
Well, hey, that's helpful. Believe me, if you'll stand in the way nowadays and stay there and let somebody run you over, you've got a lot of value.
I'm tired of drawing all those charging fouls.
The only charge I'm drawing is on my credit card.
Exactly. You beat me to the punchline.
Well, Coach Kendall, I appreciate y'all jumping on. To Kendall, again, I can't express how impressed I am with the way that you conduct yourself online, how you help to promote these kids, because at the end of the day, being in the media, that's what it should be about. And Coach Gober,
I'm gonna give you an example of Kendall which will blow your mind. Okay, I saw one of his breakdowns the other day of Tez bringing the ball up the court and hitting an unbelievable, like he called it, a laser pass inside. Most people would have never seen that. They would have never even caught that. They would never said anything about it. But what that really did was demonstrate that kid has grown from the time he got here until now, because he wouldn't have done that or maybe not even been allowed to do that before. And that's how much confidence he has in himself and his teammates that was a great play.
And it was a laser. I'm sure they could have used it on the football field a few times.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, again, thank you for jumping on. We cannot wait to see this playoff run. I look forward to following it. It's not going to end tomorrow. I will go ahead and put I will put every dollar I have in my pocket
money.
On that one. So let's go win a few
of
them.
Yeah, thank you, Coach. We appreciate it. It's always nice to have you on. We had you on a few weeks ago, and would love to have you back as soon as possible as well.
And we will get CJ
anytime,
and Tez on.
Get those guys on, and that's my fault for not giving them the info right, fast enough. And I just got caught up with the time, and we had a lot going on, and I apologize for them. But you really want to talk to CJ and Tez. They're entertaining, and you'll learn a lot more from them than ever would from me.
Definitely.
So,
and
I appreciate
ask
it,
CJ
guys.
About his shoes for sure. So, Coach, we will see you tomorrow night. Let's go get some wins.
Good luck.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Coach.
Everything. All right. Bye-bye.
There he goes. That's Wauxhatchee Running Indian head coach Greg Dober. Again.
Always a treat to talk to him.
He is fantastic. And
man,
again,
uplifting.
Those Indians will face Belton. That's 17-7 Belton. They finished fourth place in their district. They will play them tomorrow at 7 p.m. And it's in where?
Lorena, Texas.
Lorena, Texas.
Just south of Waco.
There are only 215 tickets available for each side, so get there early. Pre-game will start on KBEC and streamed live on sports.kbc.com at 6:45 with Ken Roberts, the voice of the Indians. And
6:45 pregame tip-off at 7.
And like I always say, come loud, come proud, and I guess let's build a 215-person crowd.
I heard that. And for those who missed the newest rankings that came out this morning, they came from Max Preps, which isn't always completely reliable unless it's kind of on the basketball side of things. So Max Preps released their traditional school national ranking. So what this does is these schools, one, have to be able to play for a state title. Two, they have to belong to a recognized state governing body. And three, they do not have multiple varsity teams or postgraduate programs. So that removes your IMG academies in those schools, right?
Kind of your canned program, so to speak, that travel around the country playing almost like a showcase or exhibition type schedule rather than a true district and playoff system.
So with that, I'm going to give Chad and Yo-Yo, I'm going to give you one guess as to where Waxahachie landed in that national ranking. I'm going to tell you it's inside the top 10.
Can I cheat?
You already know it, huh?
I think I already know.
He already knows it. Yo-Yo, you get
but in
one
the,
guess.
But in a sportsmanlike
I'm
way, I will
call
bow
here, boys.
You get one guess.
What's the question again?
Where does Waxahachie rank in the traditional national high school rankings?
I'm going to say 4.
Oh, I saw the fingers go up. Chad helped. Yo-Yo, Cheetah's in the reflection.
The reflection in the glass gets you every time. I figured, we're going to win a milkshake or something. I thought maybe we might split it.
We have DeMatha. They are first.
And that would be a true split, not one shake and two straws. It would be a true split. I'm just saying, Yo-Yo, I like you, but I'm not too strong a milkshake with you.
Well, I'm with you, all right.
DeMatha is first, and they were here just 3 years ago in that showcase that we hosted. We've got Camden from New Jersey is second. Archbishop Wood from Pennsylvania is third. Waxahachie is fourth. And Duncanville is fifth to round out your national traditional school top 25.
I'm just glad that all of them aren't East Coast teams because, that East Coast bias out there.
Yeah, absolutely. In that showcase tournament a couple years back, there was a kid in there named Timmy, T-I-M-M-E.
Drew Timmy. I have an opinion on him that I will keep to myself.
Oh, boy. I probably understand what the opinion is, but he's now at Gonzaga. Lots of playing time. I guess he's a starter for him up there. Every time I'm, flipping through the channels or whatever and he's on, I have to stop down and watch him a little bit just because I'd seen the guy live and in person and all that. Yo-Yo Dave is over here giving me the break signal. So why don't we take this opportunity to go try to sell some stuff and promote some local companies and businesses, all that jazz.
Pay the bills.
And we'll regroup and come back here shortly with, I guess, Coach Jason Sasser.
Red Oak head coach Jason Sasser. He's teed up and ready to roll.
Back in a few.
Bell Scott Insurance Group wants your business. The staff at Bell Scott Insurance has over 90 years combined experience in the personal insurance arena. They specialize in home, business, auto, commercial, and life insurance, and they represent top insurance carriers in the industry. They will do all the shopping for you. At Bell Scott Insurance Group, their motto is peace of mind equals quality of life. Bell Scott Insurance wants to earn your business, so give them a call today at 972-938-9600. Bell Scott Insurance Group, proud supporters of Waxahachie High School Athletics.
Equipment cluttering up your backyard? Jet skis taking up space in your driveway? Whether you need an extra closet or garage, Access Self-Storage has the space for you. Meet the friendly, helpful managers who live on site with state-of-the-art surveillance and electronic entry systems. In Red Oak at 561 East Ovilla Road and in Midlothian at 1630 North Highway 67. Committed to safety, security, and service. Access Self-Storage.
Hey, KBEC listeners, this portion of the show is brought to you by Harris Body Shop in Italy at 401 West Main Street for auto paint repair and wrecker service. Give Rodney and the crew a call today at 972-483-6754. Harris Paint Body Shop with over 60 years experience. They've seen it all. They're in Italy at 401 West Main Street. Call today, 972-483-6754 to Harris Body Shop.
If you are ever in need of a wrecker service, call TowPro Wrecker Service at 972-938-3221. They're the pros that can give you a tow. TowPro handles small and heavy towing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Danny and his crew have been serving this area since the year 2000. Let them put their experience to work for you. Call 972-938-3221 or email at towprowax@gmail.com. TowPro Wrecker Service.
Before we get back to Travis and Chad, let me remind you of Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. Boy, I tell you what, after the last week, we need all the heating and air conditioning we can get. And Wayne Price in Waxahachie provides the superior HVAC expertise you demand. For the highest quality results for your AC repair and heating needs, call today, 972-834-2568, 972-834-2568, to learn more about all of their HVAC contractor services. Also, let me remind you about McLean Total Car Care, specializing in tires, wheels, and brakes. They're located at 2334 Highway 77 South in Waxahachie. Give Brandon a call at 682-936-6160. That's a little bit different number. 682-936-6160. That's McLean Total Car Care. All right, here we go. KPEC. Back to Travis and Chad. I've always wanted to say this. Look at the big brain on Chad.
Oh, there you go. It's easy to see. No, the hair's not blocking it. I can promise you it's easy.
Hey, so we got Red Oak head coach Jason Sasser on the line. And before we introduce him, I just want to set the stage real quick. So when we woke up on Saturday morning, the Red Oak Hawks were in fifth place in the District 14 5A standings. We had just gotten through the snow. It was awful. Midlothian and Waco U had already secured their spots, 1 and 2. Red Oak had to face Waco U at 10 a.m. on Saturday to force a three-way tie. If they won that, they would then have a three-team mini-tournament in Italy, Texas, at the Dome,
home
starting
Gladiators.
At 6, 7, and 8 p.m. tip-offs. How do y'all think they did?
I'm going to vote that they prevailed.
I'm going to go the same way. I think they won them all.
Well, and that's why we've got Red Oak head coach Jason Sasser joining us right now, because those Hawks did find a way to clinch a playoff berth.
They came with a screech.
Coach, are you there?
I'm here. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Loud Have clear, you caught coach. Your breath yet from Saturday? Because that was a whirlwind of a day.
It was a great day. It was a long day. At the very beginning of the day, I told our coaches and our players, I want this to be a long day. I want it to end good. And the guys, the players stepped up. They came focused. We had to win that game at Waco. I think we actually started the game at 10. Well, actually, it was 11 that morning. And I'm just on the phone with Coach hoping he would come, because that game was scheduled to be played last Friday. So I'm just saying, have y'all left yet? Where are y'all at? Oh, y'all almost here. I'm just anxious, ready. And once they finally got here, I was ready for tip-off. So we did. We were able to prevail and win that game. After that, like you mentioned, it was a three-way tie for third. And we all had to what you call a play-in. So we went to Italy, which is my first time in Italy at the gym. It was a very nice arena, great atmosphere. And we had already flipped to see who would play first. Joshua had got the bye. Ennis and us had the first game, and if you win the first game, you're automatically in. If you win the second game, you would have got third seed. If we would have went 2-0, if we would beat Ennis and beat Joshua, then Joshua and Ennis would have had to play for fourth. But we end up coming short against Joshua, and Joshua end up beating us that third game. And actually, I don't know if you guys noticed or not. That's their first playoff berth in 39 years. So they were very super excited.
First time in 39 years. And Joshua did win game two there in the Dome, 61-50. That was after Ennis took game one, or sorry, Red Oak took game one against those Lions from Ennis, 51-50 in overtime. Coach, what did you say to your kids there as they're going into OT and they had to be gassed? I mean, you haven't had a chance to practice all week. So conditioning isn't great by any means. What was that talk that you had with them to get their mind right for that for that final push?
Well, they had a fantastic win against Waco. So when you're dealing with 14-year-olds, 18-year-olds, we're very young. We got a lot of guys that started off 14, 15, 16. So just got to try to control their emotions, the highs and lows. So they were very high off that win. We were all high off that win, but told them they had to come back down. We did step one, winning that game. Now we have to go and win another game to get in the playoffs. So they did a good job focusing in. Ennis had already beat us twice this year. So it was good for us to face them again because I really felt that we had those previous games in our hand. We just let it slip away. So I just told them to focus in. This is a young team. I don't have anybody that played varsity before, so they all are first-time varsity players.
Wow.
Lock in, focus in, and this is what you play for. And they stepped up, did the job. We had the game won in regulation, but we made a couple of bad mistakes, bad turnovers, missing free throws, just doing what young teams do that don't have varsity experience at this level. But we were able to prevail because they missed the shot. We contested. They missed the open shot. The ball rolled out. Game over.
Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Coach, I did a little bit of background work on you. I mean, you played at Kimball High School, correct?
Home of the state champions, yes, sir.
Yes, I appreciate you coloring that up a little bit for me, you know, and brightening it up. And then on to Texas Tech, and then you played in the pro leagues, pro ranks as well. So, had you ever encountered anything like this before in your long, illustrious playing career that you could pass on to them, or are you just kind of winging it as you go?
I can pass a lot of stuff on to them. I've been in many, many situations. But as far as the play-in, we used to have play-ins. We had to play in my senior year where you have to be tied with a team in district. But the three-way tie, that was very unique because Ennis beat us twice. We beat Joshua twice.
Yeah.
Joshua beat Ennis twice. So everything had to fall in place for us to have that three-way tie. And then Joshua ended up beating Waco University, which was number two in our district. So that meant for us, our playoffs had already started two games back because we had to win that game. And now they put the pressure on us to have to beat Waco. If not, we don't beat Waco. Ennis and Joshua are in. So I just told them just to dig down deep. The main thing was mental toughness, the right attitude, and also just come with effort no matter how tired you get. So they were able to be mentally tough and fight through.
Yeah, it is amazing, you know, even in a COVID-filled, messed-up season that we've dealt with, not just in basketball, but in, you know, football and other sports. But basketball particularly from the standpoint of y'all play so many games, and then to think that it all boils down to this multi-tie situation, I don't know that there's really a question there. It's just an observation I'm trying to make. But in our pregame, pre-show meeting, when Travis was trying to explain all this to me, I was like, I mean, I couldn't wrap my head around it at all.
Hey, you and me both.
So, Coach, was there ever a thought that Waco might not make the trip down for that Saturday game?
Are you joking?
They put chains on the bus?
It was
bus tires?
Because we had tried day after day after day, and UIL has opted to play on Sunday during the playoffs before, but we just waited day after day, and the rule is you just have to keep pushing it back. But with district, the district has to certify. That means that teams have to say who won, who lost. So if we were not able to play, we would have been an odd man out just based on standards. And UIL stepped in. They pushed back the certification because we were not the only ones affected by this. It was a lot of more districts in the state of Texas that hadn't finished that district game. So kudos to UIL for stepping in, pushing the certification back to Saturday to where we can actually play. UIL really didn't want people depending on their season on a coin flip. So shout out to UIL.
It's nice to know that some common sense prevailed there for sure, because they could have been by the book, and then we'd all be in trouble.
Yeah, it stinks to go through all that off season and all the season.
Not just us, but a lot of more teams would have been affected, and would have been it would have left a sour taste, you know, in everybody's mouth, especially if they could do something about it. Last year, during the state championship, COVID had came out. That's understandable. Shut everything down. We don't know anything about this. But this year, they were able to push everything back a week.
Absolutely. And we had the same scenario play out during the football season when Midlothian got snubbed because of the same type of thing. So it's good to see that the UIL has learned as it goes through this whole thing. So, Coach, up next, you've got the 17-4 Highland Park Scots. I hope you beat them. We just don't like Highland Park around these parts at all. So as you look towards that game tomorrow night, what are your thoughts? And have you looked at Highland Park at all, or is it more just continuing to focus on your own guys?
Well, actually, we are in the film room right now with Coach McDaniel, Coach Charlie, Coach Boyd. We all are here right now watching film, doing the best we can to try to slow down Highland Park. They're a very good team, very disciplined team. I've been watching Highland Park for the last 2-3 years. They play really good basketball. They play together. They play unselfish basketball, and they don't make a lot of mistakes. You have to actually go in and beat them. So we're just trying to prepare the best game plan we have. Again, with our young team, this is the first time varsity, first time playoff. We just want to make sure they understand how they have to come out ready and prepared to play. So that's what the coaches and I are doing right now.
Well, I don't know if it's the first time that they're in the playoffs. I feel like they're already 3 playoff games deep,
no doubt.
They got an extra life out of that.
And it might be good that none of them are varsity players and even understood how that whole process
works.
We've
been saying every game. I wrote that on the board. I say it's a one-game scenario for us, so it has been. But this is actually, they get the feel of the parents, the playoff atmosphere, the height. So this right here is going to be good for them.
So, Coach, what are the details on that game for tomorrow?
Oh, appreciate it asking that. So we are playing at Grand Prairie High School at 7 p.m. And it's a website. You would have to go to Grand Prairie's website or GoFan to purchase tickets. They're not selling tickets at the door. I think it's GoFan, so you actually have to go online and purchase the tickets. $3 for students, $5 for adults. So anybody that wants to come out and support Red Oak, we would love to see you in the building.
Are the tickets limited, Coach? Will they only let so many, 50% occupancy or something like that?
No, I don't think that arena is pretty big. It's not limited, but they don't think it's going to be full to capacity because you have so many different playoff games going on right now. You know, as it starts to dwindle down, the people start, they're going to come in greater numbers.
Well, fantastic, Coach. I for sure can't wait.
Absolutely.
I mean, you guys are already the Cinderella team in, so let's keep that slipper on for a while.
For sure.
And go take care of the Scots.
Yeah, we definitely do our best.
We very much appreciate you being on with us, Coach. And Travis, that is the state champion Kendall alumnus.
That is.
Coach Jason Sachs.
Kendall
Red Oak
Golden Knights, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, the Kendall Golden Knights. See, there we go. I got it.
You pose a question to me, and I got no idea. I apologize. I'm Ellis County. Remember that. Coach, thank you for being on. Go get a win, and we hope to have you back soon.
Okay. I appreciate you guys. You guys have a good one.
Yes, sir. You
too,
Coach.
So there you have it. Coach Jason Sasser and the Red Oak Hawks.
He might be the tallest coach in the whole county.
Very likely could.
Might be. He's probably the only coach in the county that can still dunk. I don't know if anybody will get upset with me on that one, but he's pretty tall.
Would think so, yeah.
He's got a nephew that's really good playing down at the University of Houston, too, Marcus Sasser. He was actually our 2019 KBEC Sports Basketball Player of the Year after he left here, and he could be a pretty high draft pick.
Well, that'll be good.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, you guys ready to wrap it up?
We cut it right in. We cut it just under time.
Absolutely. Yo-Yo Dave, we appreciate all the help, all the work that you did for us. All the signals that you gave to me that I have no idea what they are.
We're learning.
One of these days we'll have to have a class on
maybe that. A training?
Yeah, maybe a training.
It's kind of like a bunt sign. We just ignore them anyway.
I'm just proud I got a reserved parking spot before I got the training.
That's true. There you go.
All right. Well, we're out of here. We will see you guys the same time next week, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. every Monday night. Send us away, Yo-Yo.
Good night, Yo-Yo.
Listening to the Press Box on Classic Texas KBEC 1390 AM, 99.1 FM, and online at KBEC.com. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpets in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpets. Tune in every Monday night at 6 p.m. for the Press Box. And for more information, go to sports.kbec.com.